Svayam samuttirya sudustaram dhyuman. Bhavarnavam bhimamadabhra saurida. Bhavat padam boruhunava matrate. Nidhaya yata sadanugraho bhavan. Svayam samuttirya sudustaram dhyuman. Bhavarnavam bhimamadabhra saurudaha. Bhavat padam bhunavam atrati. Nidaya yata sadanugraho bhavan. Svayam. Personally. Samuttirya. Perfectly crossing. Sudustaram. Which is very difficult to cross. Dhyuman. O Lord, who appear exactly like the sun. Illuminating the darkness of this world of ignorance. Baba Arnavam, the ocean of nescience. Ba Bhimam, which is extremely fierce. Adabra Saurida, devotees who are incessantly friendly to the fallen souls. Bhavat pada amboruha. Your lotus feet. Navam. The boat for crossing. Atra. In this world. They, the Vaishnavas. Nidhaya. Leaving behind. Yata, on to the ultimate destination, Vaikuntha. Sadanugraha, who are always kind and merciful to the devotees. Vavan, you. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vancha Kolpataru. Where's that? Okay. When acharyas completely take shelter of your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Purport. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teachings to Rupa Goswami said, Brahmanda brahmite kon bhagyavan jeev Guru Krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. One can achieve the seed of bhakti lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya who trains the devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances, so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept the service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The Acharya's duty is therefore to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the Acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead. By the mercy of the Lord, in our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities: illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. Because in the Western countries constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The Acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nescience by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya vihina ye mantras te nishpolamata. Padma Purana. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya. Otherwise, one's endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Tangdera chorono shebi, bhokta shonibash, janome janame hoy e obilash. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nescience will surely be successful. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotees. Instruction of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. His songs are very simple, but we should not take them lightly. His realizations are the deepest. Also, it's said in the Bhagavatam, Bhayam dvitiya nivesha toksyad. Because we are accepted an idea that there's something important other than Krishna, dvitiya nivesha, becoming involved in things separate from Krishna. Therefore, our life is full of fear. Ishada petasya, we've turned away from Krishna, vipadyo, we've forgotten our real identity as servants of Krishna. Asmitihi, forgetfulness. Tanmayaya, this is all under the control of the illusory energy of Krishna. Buddha abhijit tum, therefore someone who's got some intelligence left after all this covering of illusion, if he has a spark of intelligence remaining, he should try to correct his situation. Person is deadly sick. If he realizes that he's in trouble, he'll go to the doctor and get treatment. Otherwise, he's finished. So if we realize that we're in spiritual difficulty, we'll go to the spiritual doctors and ask for treatment and take it. Buddha abhijit tum. A person who's smart in such an unfortunate condition should worship the Lord, bhakti ekaya, with exclusive devotion. The only hope. We're in the cesspool of illusion. To get out, we need to take shelter of Krishna. How do you do that? Gurudeva Tatma. One must become very surrendered to a devotee who's a pure representative of Krishna. Must take one's spiritual master, find his proper spiritual master, and then really take shelter of him. The guru should become devata and atma. He should be one's worshipable deity and one's very self. Which means it's not mayavad merging, but it means that mayarpita mano buddhir. One's intelligence should become non-different from the intelligence of the guru. Our intelligence is sick, diseased. It needs to be rectified. So like a heart transplant, better we have an intelligence transplant. You know, just, you know, let the doctor remove your intelligence and replace it with his. Yeah. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitte Te, this is Narottam Das Thakur again, taking the sublime message of the Bhagavatam and translating it into simple vernacular. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitte Te Koriya Aikya Ar Na Koriya Mone Ash. Whatever instructions come out of the lotus mouth of my spiritual master, I should find a proper place in my heart to place these instructions. I should carefully store them away in my heart. You know, put them in a directory where you can find them and make sure you have a backup. Arno koriye moniash. And if your storage is filled up with garbage, erase the garbage. Arno koriye moniash. You shouldn't maintain any contrary intentions or desires. How are you going to place in your heart the instructions of the spiritual master if you're harboring in that same heart contrary ideas? Whatever idea I have, formulated from my faulty intelligence, that doesn't agree with the intelligence, the judgment of my spiritual master, I have to kick out my idea to make room for his idea. So it's a process of becoming corrected. We realize we're diseased, we ask for correction, for a remedy of our diseased condition. So we have to be ready to change. We have to be ready to take instructions from the spiritual master that may be painful. We may have to accept being pointed out to us our faults. And it may be painful. Just like a doctor, you know, you have to undergo surgery. We'll try to keep it painless, but there may be some discomfort. You know, you'll be under anesthetic while we cut you up, and when you come out of it, it's going to be uncomfortable recovering. That's honest. If the doctor doesn't say that, then he's not being honest. If he says, you know, no problem, there'll be no discomfort at all, he's not telling the truth. So there is discomfort in being operated upon, including spiritual operation. It's not pleasant to have your faults pointed out, and then, you know, being impelled to uproot your faults. One thing to hear about them, you know, but, you know, some people have thick skin. They can hear all their faults and it doesn't bother them. And they just go on the same way, you know, undeterred. But when the guru insists that you have to give up those faults, that's difficult. Not only you have to hear about it, you got to pull them out. That's the process. Devotional service is serious business. It's not a child's game. We're trying to get delivered from lifetimes of contamination and entanglement. So we have to take shelter. The process will be made as painless as possible, but there will be some discomfort. And Prabhupada talks about the first sentence of the purport. This statement reveals how, the statement of the demigods, about the devotees leaving behind the boat for others to use. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Qualification. They can help serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. If we don't want to return home back to Godhead, then this process of Shuddha Bhakti is not for us. Then we can worship God in some other sampradaya and practice some mixed form of devotion if we want to stay in this world. If we don't want to get out, then this is not the process for us. If we want to change, if we want to go back to Krishna, at least we have that idea in our head. Maybe we don't know how to do it. Maybe we don't have the strength to do it. And there's contrary desires also in our head that make it difficult to actually do it. That's okay, but if you have if your intelligence has made up your mind that I want to go back to Krishna, then that's a serious devotee. May have problems, may fail sometimes in doing the right thing, but he has the intention to give his life to Krishna. That's serious. such a person can be helped. And Krishna and the acharyas, acharyas is plural here, in Prabhupada's sentence, it's plural, the devotees and Krishna, will help such a serious aspirant. No problem. But if we're not serious, if we want to stay in the material world, then that can also be arranged. One can achieve Brahmanda, Brahmite, Kon, Bhagyawan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prashadhe Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One can achieve the seed of Bhakti Lata, devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. This is going into a side argument. The Babaji line, they have some differences of philosophy with us. One of the main things is they put a great emphasis on the diksha, more than we do, actually. Because they think that you don't have the potential for devotional service without the diksha. That the seed literally has to be planted in your heart because it isn't there. Well, they take that literally. That the diksha is everything. That's why you have to get a piece of paper that lists who your guru is, who his guru is, and you got to know it. You got to meditate on it every day. Your diksha line. That's the whole thing. Everything is this pranali. You know, you got to get connected with the disciplic succession through diksha. They put great emphasis on it. And as far as we're concerned, it's too much emphasis on an external thing. Because very often, the spiritual connection is through shiksha more than diksha. The diksha is a formality. It should be followed because we're asked to do so by Rupa Goswami and other authorities. But it's not the whole process. Just being connected through initiation doesn't automatically make you perfect. And it's not that you don't have any potential for devotion before you get that diksha. There are many devotees who never met Prabhupada and never had a chance, never got the opportunity to take initiation from him. But they're getting personal guidance from Prabhupada through his books and even through dreams and who knows how else Prabhupada is personally guiding their lives. There's adequate evidence of that. The devotees who never met Prabhupada and never took initiation from him are being guided by him personally. So it's not all just the diksha. The shiksha connection is also sometimes even more important. So, the seed of devotion, if we actually read all the instructions of Lord Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that that potential for devotion is in the heart of every living entity. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabu Noi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Koraye Udai. Krishna, love for Krishna, is eternally existing in the heart of everybody. It doesn't need to be put in there from outside. We already have it. But it needs to be awakened because now it's covered by lust, envy, and greed. It's dormant. It needs to be reawakened. Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte. Purify by hearing and chanting. Then that inspires the prema to reawaken. As Rupa Goswami describes, the angas of devotional service, and he picks at the end five of the angas as the most potent. Serving the deity of Krishna with faith, with love, with affection. Srimad Bhagavata Artanam Aswado Rosi Kaiksaha. Relishing the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees who have a real taste for the Bhagavatam. Nama Sankirtanam, chanting Krishna's names. Associating with devotees who are snigda and what is it? Sajatiya. Devotees who have a similar attitude of devotional service, who are more advanced than you, and who have some sympathy, who want to take the trouble to help you. Three qualifications. They should be more advanced than you. Associate with devotees who are less advanced than you is not going to help you much. You associate a lot with devotees who are equal, but we should look for the association of devotees who are more advanced than us. If we avoid it, that means we don't want to change. We don't want to improve. We want to stay down in a lower level. Take the easy way out. But if we want to make advancement, we should seek out the association of more advanced devotees, even if they make things difficult for us by giving us harsh instructions. And these devotees should also be attracted to Krishna in a similar way that we are. You know, there should be some chemistry, there should be a compatibility of character between the disciple and the guru. And there should be, the devotee should be willing to take the role of guru. Maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe he doesn't want to take any, give guidance to anybody. He doesn't want to take the risk of entangled in it. Maybe he just wants to do nirjana bhajana. So the person has to be willing to be your guru. But that's one of the five most potent processes to associate with such devotees. Through shiksha relationship or diksha relationship. And then last, matura mandala stitihi, to be physically situated in matura mandala, or Krishna's other abodes. Mayapur, Purushottama Kshetra, these places. So, and what Rupa Goswami says about these processes, Shraddha Duri, you don't even have to believe in them. You just do them. Other angas, you have to believe in them. But these five are so potent, believe or not believe, trust them or not, if you just do it, just like swallowing a very potent medicine. You know, not a placebo where it's all psychosomatic, you know, but a real potent medicine. It doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not. Just digest it. Like that. These are potent processes. Just do them. And bhava janmani, their effect is to gradually awaken love of Krishna in the heart. By these angas, practices of devotional service, under the guidance of Krishna's devotees, we are working to actually awaken love of Krishna in our heart. And getting out of this world, that just comes very easily as a byproduct of it. So Prabhupada talks about the duty of an acharya, his duty to write books, to give guidance to the candidates now and in the future. And then it should be the duty of the candidates to read those books, to take the guidance. Guidance has to be offered by the acharyas. The disciples have to take that guidance and take advantage of it, use it. Anyway, demigods here are praising the devotees who not only save themselves, but even when they've left this world and gone back to Krishna, they leave behind their instructions. They leave behind their example and their instructions about how to do what they did. This is Vedic Rishi. Every society, even primitive ones, have their mystics, their shamans, witch doctors, and mystics of various sorts, Sufis and whatever they have, Zen masters and everything else. Every culture's got something. But what's special about the Vedic rishis is that they not only can see the truth, but they can explain to ordinary people how they can also come to the point of seeing the same truth. They can describe their experience in human language systematically to engage other people in coming to the same realization. That's the special quality of the Vedic rishis and the Vaishnava acharyas, or the modern Vedic rishis. Their mystic power is to be able to share with anybody else their own mystic experience, their own connection with Krishna. They can share it. They can teach others how to do the same thing. Even after they've left this world, they leave behind their instructions and the history of their example. Nidaya yata sadanugraho bhavan. You're very kind to the devotees by arranging that your successful devotees help even the neophyte devotees by leaving behind their instructions and their example. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Yes, Prabhu. I have two questions, actually.
Please.
That's okay.
Yeah.
The first one is, these Vedic rishis, were they Vaishnavas? I mean, the big Vedic...
Well, back in the ancient times, we can say there was a larger percentage of Vaishnavas. It was less normal to be a non-Vaishnava. Mm-hmm. When there was, you know, when you have the degree you have real civilization, people are smart enough to decide to become Vaishnavas. Usually, atheism and other, you know, and things in between atheism and real theism are less prominent in a more spiritually advanced culture. So maybe a lot of them were Vaishnavas, but not necessarily all of them. And so very often Vaishnavas don't reveal everything about what's going on inside them. So what they say may not reveal the full depths of their Vaishnavism. Now, what you read in the Rig Veda doesn't sound like a Vaishnava Shastra. It seems like you're talking about hundreds of different devatas. So the devotees don't always reveal what's in their heart, because the audience isn't ready to hear it.
Second question I had is, where is the Babaji's place, seem to place all of their emphasis in the attainment of bhakti and diksha?
Yeah.
We see it as, you said, more of a ritual. Something that's followed. I mean, how much,
it's
how
not
much do we place on?
Well, you know, we place importance on certain rituals are important. Like, yeah. The ritual of diksha is essential. It's not because it's a ritual, therefore it can be dispensed with. Or it should be, you know, not taken seriously. You know, so there are certain rituals that are extremely important for our spiritual life, and that you can put diksha on top of the list. Did that answer it? Or
yeah, how much do we say? Is it dependent upon? Is bhakti dependent upon diksha, someone who's not initiated,
well,
to go back to Godhead or attain?
There are different methods. There are different methods of devotional service. Mm-hmm. If we want to perform pure Nam Sankirtan without any admixture of Pancharatrika process, we can do it without diksha. You can achieve everything just by chanting Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. And you don't need a separate diksha for that. But there are various methods of bhakti. That's one. But it's not the one taught us by Rupa Goswami. Mm-hmm. Rupa Goswami taught us a somewhat different method, but that includes various elements of, at least for those who are not ready to immediately enter Raghunuga Bhakti, in Vaidhi Bhakti, we're expected to take Diksha. If someone has such a pure heart that he can go immediately to Raghunuga Bhakti, then that's a different matter. I think he needs a Shiksha Guru at least, but you know, maybe he can even avoid taking. But the process for most of us is that we have to do the things that Rupa Goswami describes as the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, and one of them is taking shelter of a spiritual master, receiving instructions from him, and initiation too. Although he doesn't mention the word Diksha on that list, he doesn't specifically mention it, explicitly mention it, but it's implied. The commentaries of Jiva Goswami and others indicate that taking shelter includes taking initiation. So if we want to follow Rupa Goswami's method, then we should take initiation. Because Rupa Goswami's method is Bhagavad Vidhi with some Pancharatrika Vidhi included. Pancharatrika Vidhi, you have to take initiation before you can begin worshipping. You have to receive the mantra by initiation. Normally you do. We just have a special initiation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that every man, woman, and child in the universe should chant Krishna's names. That's a, you know, initiation already given to everybody.
There's one verse in the Padyavali of the Swami where he puts, what's the source for that? Let's look at it. It says that the holy name doesn't even lead to initiation.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the Shastra. Maybe we don't know who said it where, but Rupa Goswami quotes it so that we can accept it as Shastra. Yeah, so initiation is not required. Otherwise, we shouldn't be doing what we're doing, publicly encouraging people all over the place. all over the world to chant Hare Krishna. We shouldn't do that. But that sanction is given. Anybody can chant. You can see the Babaji's, even though they're supposed to be Paramahamsas, Avadutas, the externals are very important to them. You know, if it's a holiday, you know, a special day, then it's really important that, you know, you follow the etiquette and you know you're expected to visit, you know, the other mutts. You know, if you don't show up, then that's a social, you know, you've done a no-no by not, you know, paying a social call on the right day to the right person. Mm-hmm. So they're very formalities and social niceties. They're very concerned with them, mm-hmm. even though they're supposed to be, you know, beyond all the social regulations.
They're also very much asked about things like who's a Brahmin, who's not a Brahmin.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of places, you know, you can't sit down with them if you're a householder. Or, you know.
Yeah, or if you're not a Brahmin.
You can't eat with them, yeah.
Certain types of Brahmins.
Really?
Too,
right?
Yeah. So they're...
In the Gaudiya line among them?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they... you have to... Part of the indiksha is to become a Brahmin. And it... You know, smart a sense of worth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some of them. Others don't care too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the problem is imitating Raghunuga Gobhakti when you don't yet have the Harikara. You know, we're not against Raghunuga Gobhakti, but you have to be ready for it. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam. Ki jai.